Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
And we're back live on Chip Chat. My name is Allison Klein. We're at the Intel Developer Forum, and I'm delighted to be joined by Lynn Comp. Welcome, Lynn.
Thank you, Allison.
This is your second time on Chip Chat, but never on a white carpet before, right?
That's right.
Well, we had a great conversation with Shannon Pullen earlier at IDF about, you know, he introduced the re-architecture of the data center, started talking about software-defined infrastructure, and I wanted to dive a little bit deeper with you about this, but why don't you tell the audience first what you do at Intel and why this topic for you?
So I work under Shannon in the marketing team, and my team focuses on a lot of the things that make a data center automated. And so I'm very passionate about policy-driven and automation and how to make things less manual.
So we are taking live questions from the audience. So if you have a question, please raise your hand and we will get to you. My first question to you, and we have some ringers in the audience, I see. My first question for you is, what is the driver behind the need for automation in the data center, and what is the challenge that we're trying to solve for customers?
So one data point that we have from our own internal IT group is it can take at least 2 to 3 weeks just to make a connection between different resources in the data center. And if you're thinking about, you have all of these servers that need to go do compute, need to go solve problems, and you've got data, and your storage is growing 50% every year. And so with that much storage, and the servers that need to do something with that data, if it takes you 2 to 3 weeks just to make a connection in the network between them, it slows you down. And then you're having to have all of these people go out and manually make the connections. It just is a bottleneck in the data center to have to do things manually.
So we've talked about, you know, policy-based management. We've talked about different concepts before. What is different in this scenario around orchestration of services within a data center?
It's real time, and the resources are composed not just of compute, but ultimately, you can orchestrate and an application can request, I need this kind of capability. I want this much compute. I need this much memory. And then the data center will respond real time and then be able to give them the services and then orchestrate their infrastructure and almost build its own data center on the fly for it to use right then and there.
So I can see from a standpoint of IT management, IT deployments, I can see the benefit of this. But obviously, there's a lot of technology that has to go into infrastructure to make this happen. So can you just start by breaking down the areas of focus that we have where we know we need to innovate in terms of making this, you know, grand vision in the future come to life?
Well, if you sat through Diane's mega briefing at all today, she had the three categories of networking, storage, and servers. And in all three of them, huge advances were made. Intel Xeon processors with the data plane development kit managed to get significantly more performance for running comms workloads and being able to make the network faster. Same processor is able to go ahead and do things like thin provisioning and deduplication in a storage environment. Same exact architecture, but you can use that compute to have less replication of the resources in storage.
Now, you brought up a lot of topics there, but I'm going to go quickly to the audience. Any questions in the audience, folks, for Lynn? I think there's one right over here.
Hi, I have a question about service orchestration and what's the business opportunity associated with that?
Well, if you're a customer of IT, you want your services immediately. You want to have all of the capabilities. You want to be able to build your app with off-the-shelf components like platform as a service capabilities. And so if you are somebody that's using those resources, you want it now, and you want it really easy and really fast.
So you basically want to set up your enterprise app like a Gmail account.
Absolutely. You want to be able to take your components off of GitHub and use the templates from Programmable Web and even some of the Mashery capabilities, pull the code in, build the application, have the data center just give you the services and the infrastructure immediately, and you've got your service running in minutes.
So earlier today I heard an interesting statistic. An average of 18 copies of data exist in enterprise storage. Data duplication, how is that done today and how do we plan to improve it?
Well, if you look at the Xeon V2 processor, it uses significantly more performance to be able to run hash tables and effectively have fewer copies that it keeps around. So it uses the compute resources that are already there in the storage and takes advantage of that extra compute power to make better decisions.
And when you talk about DPDK, shifting gears to the network, what capability does that bring to allow Xeon to actually deliver value to network?
Well, you know, the Data Plane Development Kit, it's a software library that turns Xeon into a screaming fast I.O. processor. Just moves packets around and takes advantage of all of the platform advances, removing the bottlenecks, and makes it so that it can move data that much faster.
Now, you know, we talk a lot in this story about storage and network and what we're doing to innovate in those spaces. Obviously, we've done a lot of innovation over the last decade in compute, but is there anything left on the table that needs to be done there or is an opportunity for us in terms of further innovation towards this vision?
There's always innovation in compute. You know, you're always balancing the data movement, the data storage that, you know, you have to make decisions. Does it go on a cache? Does it sit next to the processor on a bus? Is it across a network? And so you're always, always having to make these balanced decisions of whether you can have as many cores as you would like to solve big problems like genomic assessment to do DNA analysis.
You know, last week we announced the Atom C2000 processor family, and you know, we went further and talked about rack scale architecture and silicon photonics. And when you look at this service-oriented world, where does system disaggregation and, you know, new types of platform delivery come into play, and why is silicon photonics so important for that?
There's always, always a bottleneck in moving data around and having it in the right place. There's a lot of technologies where you're trying to move the data closer to the compute. You're trying to move the compute into the storage or into the network. And so when you're looking at silicon photonics, it's low power, it's super fast, and it doesn't require as much energy and as much loss.
And when you look at disaggregation, what's the role of memory in that?
Well, you can't actually do anything with more compute if there's no place to put the data that you're working on. So if you don't have the memory close enough to do the computing, or you don't have enough computing but you have a big pool of memory, it's just a waste of your resources that you have. So you want to get the right memory associated to the right compute for the workload that's running.
We're having a fantastic photo op in the middle of our podcast episode. I really hope they don't ask us to go up on that ladder, Lynn, because it's been a long day. Any other questions from the audience for Lynn? Everyone's distracted by the cameras. I have one final question for you. I know that you're active on social networks. Obviously, this is something that, you know, the topics that you talked about today are the topics that are being debated online. Where can people find you on Twitter? And, you know, how can people follow up with you to learn more about these topics?
Well, I'm on the hashtag LynnCompIntel. And I'm connected with Allison, so if anybody's connected with Allison, you can find me through her as well. And absolutely send a tweet or email. All of that is ways that you can have more conversation. Would love to hear more debate and more input on the perspectives of software-defined infrastructure.
Well, thanks so much for making time in your busy schedule today, Lynn. I know IDF is a crazy schedule for you. Thanks for joining us today. We hope to have you back soon to discuss these topics even further.
Great. Thanks, Allison.
And folks, if you've enjoyed the Chip Chat program today, you can find us at ChipChat on Intel.com. We'll be live on Blog Talk Radio tomorrow, and you can always catch our archived episodes on iTunes and subscribe to them. So thanks very much for participating today. It's been a pleasure to bring you these executives talking about the future of innovation.